Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What about us? What about all the times you said you had the answers? What about us? What about all the broken happy ever after? What about us? What about all the plans that ended in disaster?
The telephone number here is always
576. 7798.
Oh.
Pink is your artist of the day.
Hey, Scott.
Yo.
You're quarantined with the very first person you ever saw in concert. Who is it? Go.
Deep Purple.
Sam?
From what I can remember, it's Kenny Chesney.
Okay.
Who are you quarantined with?
I'm
totally good with being quarantined with Deep Purple. I still like them.
It's Juice Newton, Scott. Juice
Who?
Newton. Just call me Angel in the morning.
Oh, no, we bay, remember, Dana. We were there in the 70s.
Just touch my cheek
before you leave.
Me, yeah. Darling.
Juice Newton was your first concert?
I was a dork. I told you that. I even bought a button and wore it to school, and all the kids made fun of me.
Don't make me laugh.
They all made fun of me. I wore a Juice Newton button that I bought to school, and they were like, what? Yep. Baby.
That's classic rock right there.
I mean, I was such a nerd. I didn't understand how bad it would be for me if I wore a Juice Newton button to school. That's how big on the nerd scale I went.
All right. Because, see, I'm not embarrassed about definitely the first four concerts I went to. Because number two was Queen with Freddie Mercury. Let me ask you this. Other than Juice Newton, what's the one concert that you're afraid to admit you actually went to and enjoyed?
You want me to trump Juice Newton?
I said other than Juice Newton. You can't trump it.
Ain't nothing beating Juice Newton. I'm sorry. Maybe Crystal Gale. Either that, or...
If it's not the most embarrassing concert you're willing to admit you went to, the worst concert. Because, see, I'm racking my brain trying to think of a concert I'm embarrassed that I went to, and I can't. But I can definitely tell you the worst concert I ever went to.
Okay, so I never went to concerts growing up, ever.
Okay.
I went with a friend of my mom's to see Juice Newton. And then I fast forward 25 years, I only started seeing shows that were really good and I liked. So I'm out of that conversation.
Worst concert, then, that you ever saw?
I did not think Hall & Oates sounded good a couple years ago.
Okay.
He should not keep trying to sing Sarah.
I'm sorry, what does he sing?
Sarah was not smiling when he sang that song.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, she was not.
She was not.
Worst concert I ever saw, not embarrassed to say that I went, was George Thorogood, 1988 Sandstone. I thought he sucked.
Okay.
Terrible. I was like, man, you know, A, I don't like these songs that much to begin with. I'm bad to the bone.
Bad.
But I just thought he was lame. The other one would be, and I'm picking on an opener here. It was Rat opening up for Poison at Sandstone, and Stephen Piercy, the lead singer of Rat, was screaming during the show at the audio tech in the back because his reverb speakers weren't working or whatever. I have no idea. Who cares?
You could not pay. There is not enough money in the world to pay me to go to a Rat concert then or now. You literally could not. There's not a number that you could throw at me that I'd go, yeah, like a little, yeah, I'll go do that.
You don't want a little Round and Round or?
No, no, not.
A little Lay It Down,
a
little Way Cool Junior.
No.
Those songs never meant anything to you in high school?
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
No, no, no. Okay. You know, you have to remember, Scott, I was in Topeka. So to go to a concert, you had to drive to Kansas City, which was an hour away, which we just didn't do. I mean, we did not travel. We went to Biloxi, you know, during the summers.
Did you see Juice Newton?
Just Call Me Angel in the Morning, Bay Bay, came to the Topeka Expo Center.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, she was big time.
She was so big time, she played at the Topeka Expo Center?
Yeah, then slowly turn away, I won't beg you to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Bay Bay.
Bay Bay.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I'm telling you, it's so bad. Where is she still alive, by the way? Oh, yeah, I'm going to beg you to stay. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Yeah, really dramatic bridge here.
There'll be no strings to tie my hands.
Oh.
She is 68 years old.
Really?
Still kicking it.
That little come hither look she had on that album. Remember that?
Whoa.
Wow.
Jeez. If morning's echo says we've sinned, well, that is what we wanted now. How bad is it that I still know those words?
Yeah,
like,
this is getting really
super,
weird.
Really bad.
Wow. Deep End is where this show just went.
I might still have the button. I'm not going to lie.
do you still have the button?
No, but wouldn't that be hilarious if I still had a Juice Newton button from like 1979?
I'll never forget. This is how weird it was in the 80s. I'll never forget. Iron Maiden was coming to town, and they were playing at Kemper Arena. And I know you don't know anything about Iron Maiden, but their opening act was Guns N' Roses. And Guns N' Roses had just hit it big. And like Appetite for Destruction was like the biggest record. Everybody was buying it. You know, Paradise City, all that stuff. And I went to the show. I mean, I wanted to see Guns N' Roses, but I really wanted to see Iron Maiden. One of my favorite bands. I had never seen them. And we're walking up the steps at Kemper, and everybody's walking out. This is how big Guns N' Roses was in 1988. Everybody's walking out. And I go, where's everybody going? Is the show canceled? They said, no, Axl Rose is sick. Guns N' Roses ain't playing tonight. I'm like,
They just left.
Yeah. So like Kemper was like half filled for Iron Maiden because everybody was there to see Guns N' Roses. That's how big they were in 1988. And I was like, wow.
Were they as big as Juice Newton? Because
I
question
Dana,
that,
Dana,
Scott.
Dana, was anybody as big as Juice Newton?
Yeah.
And if we're victims of the night. Victims of the night. That doesn't even make any sense.
I won't be blinded by the light. Maybe shining a flashlight at her. I don't know.
How does one get attacked by a knight? If we're victims of the night, what, the night's
going
to attack you? Is it going to sexually assault you? I mean, what's going to happen with the night?
Guessing she did not write her own stuff. I don't know, but I'm guessing.
I saw Meatloaf kick a fat woman off stage one time.
Why?
It was a weird transition.
Well, we're just talking about concerts, right? Some lady jumped up on stage. Meatloaf opened for Queen when I saw them in 86. And some big, I mean, she was gigantic. And this big, giant woman jumps up on stage and starts running across the stage. And Meatloaf goes, he just literally goes and kicks her. And he goes, get off the stage, B. And she flies into the audience. And I was like, this is rock and roll.
He would be done today if he did that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was in 1986.
Still not okay, but...
I didn't say it's okay. Neither is charging a stage, Mike Brenniger.
Oh.
After Steve Miller. But anyway, I digress. All right, telephone number here is 576-7798. Do you want to do first concerts, or do you want to talk about coronavirus?
No, not at 5:15. We're done talking about corona. Oh. We can also do, we talked about this in the 2 o'clock hour.
What is the
one thing about you that nobody knows, and if you told somebody, they wouldn't believe. They thought you'd made it up. They would not believe it.
They say you're lying.
But it's true.
All right. I'm game for that. All right, here it is. Here's the topic, gang. 576-7798. What is the one thing, and it has to be true, okay? What's the one thing that's happened to you in your life that you've done or has been done to you that when you tell the story, all of your friends go, dude, you're lying. You're stone cold lying. But it is 100% true. 576-7798. 576-7798.
As she rises to her apology, anybody else would surely know. He's watching her go. What a fool believes.
Dudes. We got Michael McDonald and all pop. Ever seen them in concert?
Oh, I love me some On My Own with Patti LaBelle. What a great song.
Mm. Sam, let's go to the phones, please. The story that you can tell, and it has to be true. And by the way, and I'm not telling you who it is, Sam says some of these stories he doesn't believe already.
You know, it's a standard precaution when you do a topic
okay. Like
this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's go to the phones, and we'll find out if you're telling the truth or not. Go ahead, caller.
Joe in Overland Park.
Joe, you better be telling the truth, man.
Hey, I'm telling the truth. This is the absolute truth. I'm a pastor. So I was taking a group of students over to Belarus, which was, I think it still is a communist country. And the Missouri Baptist Convention asked me to take over, about $130,000, because they couldn't wire that money over there that churches had raised for Christians over in Belarus. And I had to take it in cash. Well, I was supposed to meet up with about 80 other students in Atlanta before we flew out, and I was going to give each of them $3,000 in a packet because you wouldn't have to declare it. Well, the storms hit, and none of our planes met up, so I had to take all that cash into Belarus myself. Well, they took one look at my claim, and I called ahead, and I said, guys, we're in trouble because I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I'm going to have to claim all this money. And I had all that cash on me. I was sweating it. I was in an airport in Germany, and they just said, just fly in. We'll try to send somebody to help you out. But if you got to bribe, if you got to bribe your way out of it, do it. So anyway, they took me in a back room, and this guy came in and started yelling at these soldiers, really in Russian. I'm just sitting there. I don't know what's going on. And anyway, he ends up pointing to me, and I don't know where I'm going. We're walking down this airport in Belarus, which I've never been to before, and he says, I'm a friend, the pastor sent me, it's all okay, we'll get you out of here. So that was the most nervous I've ever been in my entire life.
Where did you put the money? Was it like in a duffel bag?
It was in my, backpack.
Bend over, I'll show you.
it was stuffed in there, and then, of course, I had about 10 students with me, and I gave them what they didn't have to declare, but I had all the rest. And
oh,
it was
goodness.
I thought I was going to have to bribe my way out of there. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, Pastor,
that's the most cash I've ever seen in my life, too.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
I'm glad you called, my friend. I was just kidding about the bend over comment, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
I got you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to hell.
God bless you.
Sam says,
really, Scott? Really?
It was a joke. It's a joke.
He's a pastor. He's a man.
It's
of
a pastor.
Damn. Oh
gosh.
God.
Let's go to Matt in Olathe.
Yeah, let's do. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, yeah, my story is the way I tell it. And my whole life is a story that nobody believes, you know, every aspect of it. But the way I start this one is I just say I used to work at an alligator farm in the ghetto of Kansas City. And I don't know if anybody remembers this from the early 90s. There was a woman named Pat, also called the alligator lady. And the city was trying to get rid of her alligators. And so I worked for her in her house. It was a house that had hundreds of alligators in it, crocodiles mostly. But and they were huge, they were small, and I worked there for several years. It was crazy. And the only reason I'm thinking of it now is because of the Tiger King, and I know the alligator
yeah.
lady. She's passed since. Do you guys remember her?
Well, I looked it up, and I found her. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, and it was not so much the ghetto, but at the time I was in college, and it kind of seemed like it to me. And it was crazy. And the stories that happened there alone are unbelievable. It's just so.
Did you ever get bit?
I did not. I got rushed a couple times because I was just learning how to feed them in the wintertime. We'd bring them down to the basement. Which was all concrete, you know, where the laundry machine was.
How does one bring alligators to the basement?
She would handle the mouth. She would duct tape the mouth shut, and I would handle the tail. She would actually hold them. I mean, they knew her, you know. Like, and if they were full, their tummies were full. They weren't aggressive for the most part.
that's the operative word there. For the most part.
Yeah. So we would just carry them, just two of us. Down to the basement. And so I would feed him. I'd put a little chicken breast on a stick on the end of a mop handle with a hook, and I'd kind of dance it around so it looked like it was alive. And then one of the alligators would rush it and bite it. But I was unfamiliar with where they were in the basement. It was kind of dark. So I walked just across the floor of the basement, and I forgot to feed the first one first. And I didn't see it in the shadows, and it just kind of rushed at me. Because I had a chicken on a stick. So that was like the only time I was actually scared for my life.
Okay, I'm going to believe that story. I'm actually going to believe that one.
Yeah.
There is at least one thing online about the alligator lady in KC, but it is years ago.
All right. We'll get to more in just a moment. 576-7798. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Need more cowbell. That's not enough. BOC, Blue Oyster Cult, here on Dana and Parks. Apparently, we got a full board.
Oh.
Here is what Dana has proposed.
It's all over Facebook, by the way. This is not my idea.
Oh, I know, but it's a good idea. You tell us a story that is so far-fetched, but it happened to you, and your friends are like, come on, man. And it's 100% true. Now, we're going to call BS when we smell BS. Sam to the phones.
Let's go to Beth in Green Valley.
Okay, Beth, go ahead.
Hi, Beth.
Hi,
I believe you already.
Hi, Dana.
Hi.
You do? I'm good.
Yep.
Because it is true. I had a horse run into the side of my car on the highway.
What?
Did it live?
It was around 19... Yes. It was around 1994, and my oldest daughter was on a traveling softball team, and we were coming back from a softball game in Warrensburg. And if you take 50 Highway to BB, it takes BB over to Green Valley, almost to I-70. And we were almost home. And I looked up, and there was a horse head in the windshield. And it hit the side of the car. I slammed on the brakes. The people behind me missed hitting me. And my kids were all freaking out in the car. And I thought that there had been a rider on the horse.
Oh.
Luckily not. Oh. Luckily not. It had gotten out of the barn and was making a beeline to get away from the people that owned the horse. And no, nobody would have believed it, but the horse hairs were in my windshield, on the rear, on the side mirror.
I believe it.
On the side glass. But luckily, the horse just had a little nick on its forehead.
This belongs in that farmer's commercial. We are farmers. Where he says, I've seen a few things. No, no, that that commercial.
We covered it because we've seen it.
Yeah, 1994. That's awesome.
That's only one of the stories, but that's all I'll let you know for now.
Well, Beth, that was a good one.
Okay, well, thank you.
Beth, you be well. You take care of yourself, okay?
You too.
Hey, remember that time we hit a horse? Like, how many people can say that? Remember that one time we hit a horse?
I had a deer come through the driver's side window of my car one time.
Not unique.
Come through the driver's side window?
No.
Actually, most deer hit the side of the car. Fun fact.
Like every third time you're on K10, that's what happens.
Okay, I thought I was unique. Sam, to the phones.
You did have another encounter with a windshield that's unique.
Shut up.
I'm going to let that one sit. Let's go to Chris and KCK.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Dana, Scott. Thanks for having me on. Love our show.
Anytime. Thank you, brother.
So about 14 years ago, I was an owner's rep for a hotel, local hotel management company, and I would go down for new construction hotels and basically do the owner's punch list for the end of the project. And I'd be down there by myself and fly to all the different cities around the U.S. So I flew down to San Antonio, and on my way back home to Kansas City, as I was going through security at the gates, they put my computer bag under the x-ray machine and were running it through. I was waiting on the other side of the metal detector, waiting for my bag to come through. And the guy looking at the screen was looking at it really hard. He called the supervisor over, started looking a little harder between them two. They're looking at me, looking at the screen. And finally, the supervisor calls out some code. I can't remember exactly what it was. But they shut the gates down through security at the airport. And everyone that had not gone through security, they backed up to the entrance of the San Antonio airport. And everyone that had already been through security, they started pushing toward the San Antonio splits two different ways. They started pushing them either way to the ends of the terminal.
Oh, my God.
This whole time, they're not telling me. I'm asking, like, hey, guys, what's the deal? And no one's really talking to me. And then the airport police come and get me, tell me to follow them. They sit me down in a chair just right off the security area. As I'm sitting there, I'm asking the officer, you know, what's the problem?
Yeah.
He's like, well, just hold on tight. We'll let you know everything that's going on. So two FBI agents come that are at this airport and take my ID and ask me why I'm in San Antonio, who I've been talking to, who packed my bag, just all sorts of questions. And the whole time, they're not telling me what's going on. So I'm starting to get frustrated, and I say, well, can you please tell me why all this is happening? Because I'm honestly kind of getting a little freaked out here. So what they told me is, by what they're seeing in my bag, it looks like I have an IED in my bag with the trigger.
Oh, my God.
And I completely flush out, and I'm just thinking, okay, I'm in the hotel room by myself. I packed it, but of course I'm, you know, just wondering, is there any way anyone could have gotten into my bag? So I'm freaked out a little bit. So I'm sitting there, and about 15 minutes goes by, and they're all looking at the screen trying to figure out what's going on. This whole time, the entire airport is shut down. So about 15 minutes goes by, the FBI agents come back, and they're asking me a couple more questions. About 5 minutes after that, the San Antonio Bob Squad supervisor shows up to the airport, and he starts looking at the screen. So they about, and this is all now, we're about 25, 30 minutes into this, the supervisor decides to pull the bag out, and the whole time they're asking me, what's in your bag? And I'm trying to remember, my laptop, my mouse, some wires, paperwork. Well, the supervisor for the bomb squad decides, we're going to pull it out, and we're going to open it. So they have me sitting away from the security area at this point. The FBI, one of the agents, comes over and says, hey, grab him. Bring him back over here, and he told me this. He goes, if this thing goes off, you're going with it. And I remember thinking, you're an a-hole. I did not put this in here, and if this something, there's really something in here, then anyway.
What was in it?
So they open it up. So before they, let me back up, I'm sorry. They bring me to the screen, and they're showing me certain things. They're like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. I can't really tell because what you think what stuff looks like on an x-ray screen, you cannot tell what it is. And so I'm trying to just guess what stuff is. So when they pull it out, they finally open it up and they're going through my bag. And they said there was a square rectangle looking, object in my bag that they said was organic and it looked like C4. And then they pointed to another point and they said, this looks like.
Don't bury the lead. What was it?
It was a box of business cards that got shipped to me from KC while I was in San Antonio for 2 weeks. For some reason, it showed up as organic on the x-ray machine, and it didn't look as in the thing, it looked bigger than a business card size. It looked about the size of like a big book. It was that's all it was. There was a box of business cards, and the what looked like a detonator was a USB that was in one of the top parts of my bag. So from there, they go, okay, you're free to go. And opened up the airport again, and I'm looking around going, that's it? Like, all this? And that's it? You're free to go? So I left and walked down to my terminal and just kind of waited for my flight, and people are, of course, talking about this.
Probably waited to get your ass kicked, too.
That's pretty much what I was waiting for, because people were talking about this, and they go, and I'm like, yeah, it was me. And they're like, well, what happened? I was like, they thought I had an IED in my bag, and I explained to them what happened, and they're going,
I don't know that I would have told people that.
Yeah.
Cool. When you start talking about bombs and IEDs in airports,
yeah. I believe your story. But, hey, here's the deal. You got to get to the lead.
Thank you for the call. I was like, what is it? Well, you got to tell me what it is. I've been stopped twice for things that they thought was something it wasn't, and it was never that involved. The first time it was a divot fixer for golf. It's a two-pronged little thing, and they thought it was a knife.
We know what divot fixers are.
And it wasn't. I'm like, what is this all about? And it took a while because, you know, they go back and forth and back and forth. And the second time it was beer bottle opener that I got in Mexico, Scott, as a joke shaped as something that I brought back that, you know, yes. And they through security for a long time.
Is it shaped like something I have and you don't?
It's a fertility symbol, yes. Okay. And when they pulled that thing out, like the Lion King. They pull it out, and the two women in Mexico, it was on the Mexico side of the TSA, just drop to the ground laughing. And I'm trying to explain, it's a ding-dong, and I'm moving my hand, you know.
And in the background, all you can hear
they're pointing and saying, what is this? So, the second time I got stopped.
Let me make sure I understand this. About a year ago or two, I got made fun of for calling a rocket a space canister.
Yes.
Did you just refer to a penis as a fertility instrument?
Well, in Mexico, they were hand-carved
fertility instruments.
Symbols.
Okay.
Of virility, if you will. And so they had keychains, they had bottle openers, they were hilarious. Mm-hmm. I bought like five of them. Yeah. But the TSA, when they went through, they were like, what is that?
And what was it? It was a fertility instrument?
Well, they got an iPhone, and so did everyone else in the airport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what always raises question when you take it through an airport? Is a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I have had to dump out my backpack so many times just flying with my microphone because they think it's a bomb. And then when I show them the microphone, they still think it's a bomb, and I have to empty the rest of my backpack to prove that I don't.
But that's because the microphone looks like a fertility instrument.
Right.
And has
a very large.
And they're not used to seeing that. Sam, if I travel with a mic, you got to put that in your carry-on and pull it out and put it in the tray so that they can see what it is.
And one time I had to completely unwrap my burrito that I had brought with me because they didn't believe me that it was a burrito inside the tinfoil.
Which also looks like a fertility instrument.
How did you even get a burrito back there? They don't let you bring food in anymore,
do they? You can buy food back there.
No, you can bring food in. Once they actually accepted the fact that what was inside the burrito was burrito filling, they let me take it.
Ugh.
Okay. Alrighty. 576-7798. Dana and Parks on KMBZ. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Good. Sam, we got anybody left on the phone lines there?
We do.
Send us to them.
Let's go to Mike in KC.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, my friend. You're very kind to ask.
So, like 1977, 1978, I can't remember if I was in kindergarten or first grade. We lived out in the country just south of Lewisburg, Kansas, and I got two sisters, both younger than me. We're just kind of hanging out with my stepdad and these two guys pull into our driveway in a white station wagon with a flat tire. So my stepdad helps him get the tire off, and he's like, you know, I can't leave my kids here. So he takes one of the guys back to town to get the tire fixed, and the other guy stays with us at the house. And, you know, when you go to the bank and you get your, like, you get $5,000 or whatever, and it's got the band around the money.
Yeah.
This guy's sitting on the couch and pulling these banded bundles of money out of his bag, stacking it up on the couch like he's counting it. I didn't know exactly what was going on. And
ain't good, whatever it is.
Yeah. Stepdad got back, and they got the tire back on their car, and they left. And next day, found out they just robbed a bank in Lewisburg.
No way.
Yeah. And it had to, I don't know if it was FBI or what, but some guy in a suit came to my school, pulled me out of class, was quizzing me about how much money it was and what the guy looked like. And
Dude, anytime somebody pulls out a wad of money with a rubber band around it, it ain't good.
Wait, what year was this again?
78.
Yeah. 77, 78, somewhere in there. Yep.
Yeah, that's not a good sign when they have a rubber band around their money.
Well, the reason I asked about the year was because that's back when people trusted people enough to say, you just stay here with my kids, I'll run into town. Yeah. I mean, in a million years, no one would do that today.
Yeah, I was like 5 or 6, so my first sister would have been like 3, and my little sister would have been about 1.5 years. Yeah,
God.
With some guy that needed a flat tire fixed.
Hey, thank you for the call.
The old corduroy couch, too.
Of course he had a corduroy couch. I mean, give me a break.
Hey, you guys have a good evening.
You be safe. You be well.
You too. Friend. Scott, do you remember that bank robbery in Kansas City where the bank robbers made everyone take their clothes off? Do you remember this? Like,
was this back in the 90s?
No. This was, Dana was in Kansas City, 2000s.
Oh.
And they made them take their clothes off. Am I imagining this? I swear this happened. And drove them all in this car, or two cars, to the airport. You know, they wanted to, the employees, they made the employees take their clothes off. You don't remember this?
No.
Look on the text line. I swear to you I am not making this up.
I'm not saying you're making it up. Just tell the damn story.
Well, that's just all I remember is they made the employees strip down and there's someone got a shot through the window of the getaway car and the robber is driving everybody. And then, like, here's this poor bank teller in the front seat in her bra. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing. Am I making this up? KC Bank robbery, naked employees.
Why would you make it up? Did you
or
dream
did
it?
Or did I dream it?
According
I'm
to the text
you.
Line, it happened at a Cap Fed in Olathe.
I'm telling you, bank robbery for strip search. Yes, I'm telling you this happened. I don't remember
Dana,
what year.
Dana, whoa. You think everybody's disputing you and doubting that you remember this story. I'm not saying that we're doubting the story. Just tell the story.
It's just one of those stories that does not. Oh, here we go. Stripped to their underwear. Yep, I knew it. My news brain is so weird.
Sent to the Olathe Airport.
Yes. Federal charges were filed against a man accused in a bizarre bank robbery where the people working were taken hostage and forced to strip to their underwear. The accused gunman was shot while allegedly trying to commandeer a plane. His name was Benny Herring of Wichita, Kansas. And he survived.
Old Benny Herring.
You know, Benny Herring, he was wearing a dark ski mask, entered the Cap Fed in Olathe. You were right, Sam. Allegedly bound the hostages together with plastic ties and forced the assistant bank manager, who was not tied up, to put money in a backpack.
What was the date on that?
2005 is the date of the federal charges filed. Okay. And it looks like, you know, sometime in May. All I remember is that shot of that poor woman in the front seat, and she's in her bra, and you're just like...
I'm not laughing.
I know! I know!
I'm not laughing.
But ain't nobody would believe that story if you told them that story.
Oh, I was working at a bank, and...
I had my grandma panties on.
Yeah. Ladies, always wear good underwear. You just never know.
Always wear a thong. Because you never know when you're going to be photographed.
Okay.
We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, Sam Stevie III. You never played my favorite song, by the way.
It has the F-bomb in it like 3 times.
I don't care.
I do.
Find an edited version. My good friend and co-host, Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. And God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. Be good.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.